and I refused to let them get to me anymore. I had other things on my plate, like Claire Grayson. She was the most difficult woman I'd ever come across, and usually when a woman frustrated me, I moved on to another one. But Claire was different. On the one hand, she exuded this air of confidence that made everyone else in the room disappear. That made it impossible for me to focus on anything else that was going on. She also seemed to become more gorgeous each and every time I saw her, something I didn't even know was possible. And the sex was absolutely phenomenal. I didn't think I would ever get enough. Yet, that was the only time in which she was somewhat open with me. She was extremely guarded in regular conversation, as if she were carefully measuring each of her words. Anytime she was on the verge of saying something remotely personal, she cut herself off and completely shut down. Of course, I hadn't been that open with her either, but I'd always thought that women were more eager to share parts of themselves. I opened the drawer at the bottom of my desk and pulled out the basic background file I'd asked Corey to make for me. Divorced 4 years ago. Marital tax records for 14 years. Two daughters, Ashley Grayson and Caroline Grayson. Over $100,000 in debt. Independent voting record. Parking ticket from last Saturday. Normally, I would ask him to run a complete background check, to run her name through every single database he could hack into. But I decided against it. For the first time, I wanted to see if I could find out everything about a woman on my own for a change.
Oh, God. Oh, God. I'm going to come. I'm...
Claire rocked against me a few more times and collapsed into my arms, breathing heavily. Both of our chests rose and fell together, and we lay intertwined on the floor of my office for several minutes. She's definitely the best I've ever had. She rolled off me, and I slowly sat up. I moved her skirt back over her hips and snapped the clasps back together. I slid her shirt back over her arms and started refastening the buttons. Once I reached the last button, I ran my fingers across her silver necklace. I was starting to keep count. She had at least 10 different ones that all featured the same white and red flags. "You sure you don't want to eat with me?" I zipped my pants. "I don't think it's considered lunch if everyone has gone home for the day." She smiled. "It definitely is, so no. Thank you for the offer, though." "Okay, I'll go pay for the Chinese food, and when I get back, I'll walk you down to the garage." As soon as I stepped outside my office, I saw Mr. Barnes and 10 other staff members lying face up on the floor. "What the?"
"Oh, Mr. Statham."
Mr. Barnes stood up and shook my hand. "I didn't realize you would be here so late today." "What are you all doing?"
"We're following the advice of Chapter 7 in our Zen book. It says that sometimes it's good to get energy from those who have been successful. So we're doing our Zen exercises right in front of your office. We're trying to get some of your aura to rub off on us."
"I am never hiring another motivational speaker."
"That sounds really interesting. Do you need anything from me?" "No, not unless you want to join us. It might work even better if the source of inspiration is in our circle."
"Maybe next time," I tried not to laugh. "I have some work to finish."
"Understandable."
He lay back down on the floor and shut his eyes. I walked out into the hallway and paid for the Chinese food, trying not to step on any of the crazed associates on my way back to the office.
"Okay, I'm ready."
Claire walked past me, and I grabbed her by the waist. "We can't leave right now."
"What? Why not?"
"Because your co-workers are out there doing Zen rituals. They're trying to soak up my aura or something. Would you like to go out there and join them?"
"Are you kidding me?"
She walked over to the door and peered through the blinds.
"Idiots."
"Wait, does that mean that they could hear us?" She paled. "Doubt it. The office is soundproof. I guess you have no choice but to eat with me today. I ordered for two."
"Of course you did."
She took a brown bag from me. As usual, we slipped into a state of silence, a familiar, comforting silence.
Even though it was enjoyable, I felt like we needed to break that routine today. We needed to be able to talk in person. I cleared my throat. Why aren't you taking the Zen book as seriously as they are?
I only read books with substance.
I had to put it down after 5 pages myself. I laughed. I have no idea what that guy was talking about.
Then why did you pay him $2 million?
Politics. Plus, it's a good tax write-off.
Oh, here I was thinking that you actually cared about boosting employee morale. How inspiring.
Careful, Claire. I'm easily aroused by sarcasm. I watched her face turn bright red. Are you currently reading any books with substance?
In Cold Blood, by Truman Capote.
My daughters are reading it for English class, so I decided to read it with them. I felt a pang in my chest. Family book club. Do you all have family meetings and things like that, too?
Yeah,
she sliced her egg roll. We have family meetings every other Tuesday, and I try to take them on a trip every summer.
Why?
It's just something my mom used to do for me when I was growing up, and I want them to experience it, too. I mean, the trips aren't extravagant or anything, mostly road trips, but they're usually really fun. Did your family do trips? My family didn't do anything. I shook my head. No, not really. Where are you taking them this summer?
I want to take them on a cruise in June, but it'll probably have to wait until August.
Because of your job?
No, because I'm not rich, and I actually have to save money to do the things I want, she smiled. Plus, I'm trying to put a plan together to pay off my student loans, my mortgage, and... Sorry, I know you don't care about this stuff. I should...
How much do you have left to pay off?
I can't go there. I'm embarrassed to say it out loud.
Don't be. Tell me.
She sighed. I owe $54,000 in student loans and $100,000 on my house. I was being optimistic when I said I'd be able to pay it off. I'll probably be 60 by then.
Will you still be working here with me?
Ha! Please!
She laughed and walked over to the door.
I followed her and saw that her team was now doing meditative yoga on top of yellow mats.
Mr. Barnes appeared to be reading off a list of exercises.
How long do you think they'll be out there? She sighed.
Probably another hour or so. I walked over to my desk and grabbed my jacket. Come on, I'll walk you down to the garage.
What? Are you crazy? We're just going to walk out there and pray that they won't see us? That they won't think us being together after hours is suspicious?
I laughed. Of course not. I have a private elevator.
Are you serious? You knew that the entire time?
Chapter 10. Claire. Claire, is there a director's meeting today?
No, I don't think so. I texted Jonathan back.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm 100% sure. We're only working with the beta team today. There definitely was a director's meeting today, but I didn't want to tell him that. The last time we were together in his office, he'd mentioned wanting to have sex in the conference room right after a meeting. I thought that was way too risky and way too bold. I was still trying to get over the relaxation room incident, and I didn't want to do anything that could get us caught by my coworkers.
Claire, could you help me set up for our meeting today?
Mr. Barnes handed me a box of poster boards.
We're going to keep things simple today and use these.
I wasn't sure if it was because I'd been spending so much time with him on our latest campaigns, or if constant sex with Jonathan made me more tolerant of people. But Mr. Barnes was becoming less annoying by the day. He was still overly enthusiastic and in need of severe diversity training. But for the first time in all my years at Statham Industries, I was learning to appreciate him. I carried the posters into the conference room and saw that Jonathan was sitting alone at the table.
Good afternoon, Miss Grayson. I hope I'm not too early for the director's meeting today.
Not at all, Mr. Barnes came in after me. You're right on time. We're going to start in about 10 minutes.
Shit.
Jonathan smiled and leaned back in his chair.
Mr. Barnes, just out of curiosity,
Was this meeting planned, or did you spontaneously decide to have it a few minutes ago? Oh, no. It's been planned for about 3 months now. We always meet on Thursdays whenever we get a memo about a new product. Thanks for telling me that. Jonathan gave me one of his lusty smiles. I'll have to keep that in mind from now on. I turned away from him and started setting up the poster boards for the brainstorming session. I could feel him watching me, making my body react against my will. As other people began to fill the room, I took a seat at the end of the table, far away from him. I thought he would text me during the meeting, so I kept checking my phone, but it never vibrated. In fact, he never even looked my way. When the meeting was over, he began chatting with Mr. Barnes, so I plotted my escape. I said goodbye to a few directors, gathered up the poster boards, and left the room. I didn't want to take the elevators. Jonathan could definitely get to me in there. So I walked down 10 flights of steps to get back to my office. I unlocked the door and hit the lights, exhaling. Then I turned around and saw him sitting at my desk, grinning. I don't have to explain myself to you. I set the box of posters on my cabinet and started organizing my files, acting like he wasn't in the room. As I was alphabetizing my associate's letters, I felt him wrapping his arms around me. You lied to me. He sounded amused. So? He loosened his grip and spun me around. So? Yes. So? He looked at me for a long time, letting his eyes roam over my body. He took several steps towards me, backing me against the wall. I'm going to make you regret that when you least expect it. He kissed my lips. I'll see you this afternoon. Don't call him. Don't call him. It was midnight. I was lying in bed, counting the number of cracks in my ceiling, trying to keep my mind off Jonathan. I'd tried my best to resist liking him, but I couldn't help it. We'd been having sex for almost 2 months, talking on the phone every now and then, and texting each other at work. Yet it wasn't those things that made my heart flutter. It was the small intimate things he did. Since I refused to eat lunch with him, he had whatever I wanted delivered to my office and called me during my break so that we could, technically, eat lunch together. He insisted on kissing me before and after sex, not the hungry, savage, devouring you right now kisses, the sensual, open-mouthed, I can't get enough of you kisses. He called me beautiful every chance he could, and he always asked me out on a date, even though I turned him down every time. I wasn't foolish enough to believe that our affair would last. It was only temporary, a meaningless fling. It was only a matter of time before a younger woman, a woman who would immediately say yes to going out with him, would catch his eye. I couldn't deny that I was enjoying the newfound attention and the undeniable ego boost. But I was hoping he would find someone else soon. I needed to come back to my senses and stop behaving like some sex-crazed teenager. Stop thinking about him, Claire. Stop thinking about... My phone rang. Him. I didn't let it ring more than once before answering it. Hello? Hello, Claire. You're up late tonight. I have to be. I'm in the middle of doing some very important... You're in bed, aren't you? Ugh. Yes, he laughed. And the lies just keep coming, don't they? Don't even think I've forgotten about your first lie. I'm still going to get you back for that.
My heart skipped a beat. What are you doing?
I'm still at the office. I think I'm going to have to spend the night here. It's been a busy week and I can't keep up with all the paperwork.
More contracts?
Exactly. When a company's about to go public, everyone wants to jump on the bandwagon. It's a good thing for us economically, but it's extremely stressful.
I can't imagine. I'm sure you'll...
You should come over.
What?
I don't think so. This afternoon was more than enough. I'll see you on Monday. We don't have to have sex, Claire. We can just talk.
Talk?
Yes. What we're doing right now, except in person.
No thanks. That's a 40-minute drive for me, so...
My driver is outside your house with a town car.
What?
I jumped out of bed and peered through my blinds. Sure enough, there was a driver standing in front of a black luxury car.
What's your next excuse? And don't say your daughters because you told me last week that they drive themselves to work on the weekends.
You know you want to come.
No pun intended.
Damn it. I'll have to think about it for a while and get back to you.
See you soon.
He laughed and hung up. I rushed into my bathroom and brushed a light layer of foundation on my face. I threw on a pair of black slacks and a purple blouse and headed outside.
Good evening, Miss Grayson.
The driver greeted me as I approached the car. His driver knows my name? Good evening. Thank you for the ride.
Anything for Mr. Statham,
he said as he shut my door. As the car sped through the city, I realized how beautiful San Francisco was at night. All the lights from the downtown skyline were shining brightly, and most of the streets were clear. The car came to a stop 40 minutes later, and I heard the driver say,
"We've arrived, Mr. Statham." "Yes, of course."
He stepped out of the car and walked around to my door.
"This way, Miss Grayson."
Holding out his arm, he walked me into the basement of Statham Industries. He led me over to the private elevator and hit JS. As we rode to the top floor, he kept his eyes forward and I could see him slightly smiling. When the door slid open, Jonathan was standing in front of me wearing a muscle shirt and workout pants. It looked like he'd just taken a shower. His hair was still wet, and I could see small damp traces on his shirt. Why does he always look so good?
Thank you, Greg. Jonathan reached for my hand and walked me into his office. Would you like something to drink, Claire?
No, thank you. Is your driver always at your beck and call?
Several people are always at my beck and call.
He smiled.
I would have come with him to pick you up, but I promised we wouldn't have sex, so I thought staying here was the better decision.
You honestly think I would have had sex with you while your driver was in the car with us?
He didn't answer. He just looked at me and smirked. Come with me. I'm doing my work in here.
He motioned for me to follow him through three different doors into an elegant living room that looked like it belonged in a mansion, not a corporate office.
This is a well-designed room. A rare compliment. I'll have to type that up and get it framed.
He looked over my clothes.
Is that what you normally wear to sleep?
Why does it matter? I'm not here to spend the night. I'm just here to...
Wait here.
He disappeared into a side room and came back minutes later.
You can wear these.
He handed me a pair of red flannel pants and a black muscle shirt. You keep a stash of clothes for all your sleepovers with female employees?
Claire, Claire, Claire. He sighed. Number one, they're my pajamas, and I've never shared them with anyone before. Number two, you are my first sleepover guest at corporate, period. And number three, I told you that we weren't going to have sex tonight, but if you keep up your sarcasm, you'll be bent over my desk in a matter of seconds.
I bit my lip to prevent myself from smiling. Where's your bathroom?
Down the hall and to the right.
I walked away and locked myself into the most opulent bathroom I'd ever seen. It was huge. There was a marble jacuzzi in the corner, a glass shower that took up half the room, and double sinks with shiny golden fixtures that reflected against the wall-length mirrors. When I stepped back into the living room, the couch had been transformed into a bed, and Jonathan was tossing pillows onto it. "Do you stay late often?" I asked.
"I try not to. I prefer to be at home, but days like this force me to every now and then."
"Interesting. Can your driver take me back home in an hour?"
He rolled his eyes. "Get in the bed, Claire."
"Not until you answer me," I mocked his voice. "Or are you the only one who doesn't have to answer questions?" He walked over and scooped me into his arms.
"Exactly,"
he said as he tossed me onto the bed.
"The remote is on the coffee table to your left. I'm going to read the rest of this document and then I'll join you."
I wasn't sure why my heart started dancing at his last words, "I'll join you." But I didn't try to stop it this time. I watched him walk over to his desk and pick up a folder. He was soon lost in whatever he was reading. I flipped through the channels and settled on a home renovation show. The hosts were gutting a 50s-style galley kitchen and transforming it into a more modern one, complete with an island, a breakfast bar, and granite countertops. While I admired their effort, I hated that they were taking so much of the home's original character away. They could have at least saved the cabinets and refurbished them. "This is the best show you could find?" Jonathan slid into bed facing me. "I love these shows. Those designers are living my dream." "So why are you working here? Why not quit and pursue what you really want to do? Do you know what the word debt means?" He pulled me close. "I wasn't always rich. I'm just wondering why you've been in marketing so long if it isn't what you really want to do." "My dreams had to be put on hold once I had kids. It wasn't about me anymore. I had to do what was best for them. And I..." "Do not do this. Do not open up. This is not what you want." "I just had to do what was best for them," I sighed. "Do you have any children? Siblings?"
"I think you would know if I had kids by now."
He sounded confused.
"I do have a little sister, though."
"Oh, I had a sister once." "Does your sister work here with you?"
"No, she's in grad school in Memphis."
He pulled me even closer so that I was nuzzled against his chest.
"Were you sleeping when I called you earlier?"
"What do you mean? Was I sleeping?"
"Were you sleeping, or were you thinking about something?"
"Yes, I was thinking about sleeping," he laughed.
"What time do you have to get up in the morning?"
8. "Are we really about to go to sleep together? You're not going to try to do anything?" He stared at me for several seconds, looking like he wanted to say something, something witty. Instead, he planted a soft kiss on my lips and turned off the lights. He rolled me over so my back was against his chest, and then he held me in his arms. I woke up entwined in Jonathan's arms and noticed that he was watching me. "Morning," he smiled. "Morning. What time is it?"
7. "Would you like to get breakfast together or have some delivered before you leave?"
"No, thank you." I slid out of his arms and sat up. "I have a bunch of errands to run, so I'll get a head start on those."
"Of course. Are you going to Mr. Barnes's Zen session tonight?"
"On a Saturday?" "Never. My mom claims that she has a surprise for me, so we're probably going to the opera together. That's what all her surprises are. And I'm sure she'll want to get there 2 hours early."
"Why would she want to do that? They don't open the theater until an hour before the show."
"Don't ask. She's the eccentric type." He smiled and tilted his head to the side.
"Should I give up on getting you to willingly go out with me?"
"Probably." I tried not to smile and headed for the bathroom. I managed to get out of the salon early, finish grocery shopping, balance my checkbook, sift through a few campaign documents, and stop by my daughter's cheerleading car wash, all before 6 in the afternoon. As soon as I was home, I searched through my closet for an outfit to wear tonight. My mom always suggested that I dress for the Oscars when we went to the opera, just in case the city newspaper decided to run our photo the next day. I decided to wear my favorite black and silver evening dress. It was long, strapless, and perfectly hugged my hips. There was also a fairly deep slit on the left side, a perfect complement to the open-toed shoes I'd planned to wear. I carefully brushed on my makeup and ran my fingers through my curls. I secured the glittery diamond bracelet Jonathan had given to me for my birthday onto my wrist and rushed out of my house. "Mom? Mom, I'm here!" I stepped inside her house and shouted up the steps. "We have to leave in the next 20 minutes if you want to..." I noticed a blonde-haired man standing in the middle of the room. "Who are you?" "Wow!" He looked me over. "I'm Michael Clarkson. I'm..." "He's your date for tonight." My mom turned the corner. "Remember? Michael, you can wait in the living room. I need to talk to Claire for a second." I didn't bother waiting for him to step away. I grabbed her by the hand and dragged her into the kitchen. "Mom, what's going on? I thought we were going to the opera." "I never agreed to..." "Surprise! See... I am capable of being spontaneous," she said. The girls told me how you've been working so many late hours over the past couple months, so I thought this would be a good way to get you out. Jesus, Mother. Last time I checked, I was an adult. I don't need you intervening in my life, and I don't need... Yes, you do. You deserve to find someone else, someone who will treat you right. I liked Ryan a lot, but you can do much better. It's never too late to find love again, and I don't want you to end up alone, like me. I rolled my eyes at her not-so-subtle sympathy plea. Who is he? He's my doctor, my gynecologist, actually. What? Don't worry, it's not what you think. He's not my direct doctor. He actually owns the practice. So for the most part, he just analyzes the bacterial slides and... Thank you, I've heard enough. You were at your doctor's office and you told him you had a sad and depressed daughter who needed a new man in her life? No, I didn't tell him any of that. I just said you should get to know my daughter. She's beautiful and charming. That's all it took. He's 45, doesn't have any kids, has a few investment properties on the East Coast, and he's a doctor. Enough said. You should get to know him. I can't believe this. Believe it. She pulled me back into the living room. Michael, Claire, you two go and have a great night together, she said, smiling at the two of us. I'm sure you have a lot to talk about, so... She darted her eyes towards the front door. Have a good evening, Miss Grayson. Michael gave her a hug and reached for my hand. Are you ready? I buckled myself into Michael's Mercedes and noticed that his name was engraved on the dashboard's wood paneling. He revved up the car and smiled. I think your mom calling you beautiful may be the biggest understatement I've ever heard. I smiled and leaned back in the seat, stealing a glance of him whenever I had the chance. He was strikingly handsome. Sexy, actually. His honey-colored hair was gleaming in the sunlight, and his big brown eyes seemed to sparkle whenever he turned to look at me. From the way his black suit fit his body, I could tell that he worked out, that he kept himself in excellent shape. Yet, despite his good looks and radiating charm, I didn't feel any sparks between us. Then again, I'd just met him. We didn't talk much on the ride over, except for commenting on whatever song was playing on the radio. The long stretches of silence were quite awkward, even more awkward whenever our eyes met, and we both clumsily smiled and turned away. The waiter set two glasses of white wine on the table and walked away. So, Michael looked at me. What do you do for a living, Claire? I work at Statham Industries as a marketing director. Do you like it? No, but it pays the bills. I'm stuck there until I find something else. You're a doctor, right? I am, he smiled. I used to work at the children's hospital downtown, but I decided to return to my original specialty and work for myself. You don't miss the kids? Sometimes. I don't miss the crying, though. He laughed and took a sip of his wine. I picked up a knife and started to slice a piece of bread, but I underestimated its hardness and cut the top of my hand. Ugh. This is going to sound so cliche, I sighed, but do you happen to carry Band-Aids with you? Laughing, he pulled his wallet out of his pocket and thumbed through it. You don't mind Batman, do you? I still carry the kid ones around. It's an old habit. No, that's perfectly fine. Here, he said as he reached for my hand. Let me see. As he was holding my hand and putting on the Band-Aid, I felt my skin tingling and my heart somersaulting in my chest. But it wasn't because of Michael's touch or the soft kiss he was now placing on my wrist. I only felt those type of feelings when Jonathan was around, when I could sense him watching me. I looked up and saw him standing at a table five spaces over. He was dressed in a black tuxedo, and all the other people at his table were dressed in light blue suits with S-Phone Launch etched across the back. Our eyes met, and I felt that electrical spark I'd never felt with anyone else, that passionate jolt that took a hold of me and wouldn't let go. He raised his eyebrow as he sat down at his table, looking back and forth between me and Michael. Claire? Michael rubbed my hand and forced me to turn away. Claire? I'm so sorry. What were you saying?
I'm all done with your Band-Aid. He released my hand. What do you like to do when you're not working?
Have sex with Jonathan Statham.
I like to watch movies, run, and... You run? How often?
At least 5 times a week in the morning. 4 if it's a really hectic week.
I run, too. Maybe we could go on a run sometime together.
That'd be... I felt my phone vibrating.
Great. We should definitely do that.
I apologize in advance for pulling out my phone. It's probably my mother.
Probably. She texted me 3 minutes ago.
He laughed. Really? About what?
She just asked how our night was going.
What did you say?
Amazing.
His deep brown eyes lit up as he smiled, making him look even more gorgeous. But I felt no attraction to him whatsoever.
I wasn't aware that your mom was a man. You two look nothing alike.
Jonathan. I tried not to laugh. What do you like to do when you're not working, Michael?
I like to go rock climbing, visit car shows, and remodel old homes in the...
I love remodeling. He cocked his head to the side.
You're joking with me, aren't you?
No, I'm serious. I get a huge adrenaline rush whenever I'm in a hardware store or near a construction site. I can't really explain it, but if I could ever do that for a living...
I'm part of a home improvement group that does projects every other Saturday. Would you be interested in joining?
Extremely. My phone was vibrating again. I would love that.
Is he a long-lost friend?
Jonathan. None of your business, I texted back. Our waitress appeared and set down our dinner, a beautiful array of exotic shellfish and pasta. I wasn't the biggest fan of seafood, but the scallops and oysters looked too delicious to pass up.
Ask him if he likes your bracelet.
Jonathan.
I tossed my phone into my purse and picked up a fork. I like your bracelet.
Michael looked at my wrist.
Is it a Harry Winston? My colleague's wife has a similar one. It's a lot smaller, though.
It couldn't be a Harry Winston.
I'm not sure what it is.
It was a gift from a friend. It came in a blank black box.
Pretty generous friend.
He raised his eyebrow.
Are you enjoying the food?
Yes, it's really good.
I swallowed a forkful of shrimp. My friend is the manager here. We can come back any time you like, even if they're booked for the night.
Sounds great. I put my fork down. Would you please excuse me for 1 second?
Of course.
Like the gentleman that he was, he walked over and helped me out of my chair. I'll be right back, Michael. I made my way into the women's restroom and locked myself into a stall. I pulled out my phone and logged into the Harry Winston website, scrolling down their gallery of bracelet images. Then I spotted the one that was just like mine. It was at the bottom of the page, near the bracelets that said, "By appointment only." I clicked on the picture and read the details. An open lattice bracelet set in platinum with 340 small round diamonds. I wasn't going to click on the picture to reveal the price, but I had to know. $100,000. I gasped, holding my jeweled arm in front of my face, trying to comprehend why Jonathan would give me something so extravagant. We barely knew each other when he gave this to me. I unlocked the stall's door, ready to walk out, but Jonathan stepped inside and slammed it shut.
"Are you on a date right now?"
he said through clenched teeth.
Clearly. Is it going well?
It'd be going a whole lot better if you weren't holding me hostage in the bathroom.
I thought you said you didn't do the dating thing.
His eyes hardened. I guess I changed my mind. Is that a crime, Jonathan? Are you going to report me to someone? He narrowed his eyes and stepped right in front of me, breathing slow and steady breaths, making my heart race uncontrollably.
Let me get this straight. His eyes were blazing. I'm good enough for you to fuck, but I'm not good enough for you to go out with me. Not even once.
Glad to see you finally saw the light. I tried to move past him, but he slammed both of his hands against the wall on both sides of my head.
I'm just one of your little sex toys,
he hissed. Yes, except unfortunately you talk back and I can't turn you off. Can you please get out of my way?
No.
He looked like he wanted to rip me to pieces, like he wanted to slap me into another world. Jonathan, please stop being childish. You and I have meaningless sex. That's it. There's nothing more to it. I'm sorry if you've started to like me, but I don't like you. At least, not in that way. I don't think about you at night. You don't cross my mind throughout the day. And I just use you for some much-needed stress relief. So if you could just... He pushed me against the wall and forced his lips on top of mine, kissing me so hard, I could barely breathe. He slid his hand underneath the slit of my dress, running his hands across my thighs. Then he twisted my panties and ripped them off. Jonathan, shut up! He lifted my leg and hooked it around his waist. Put your arms around my neck. Jonna, I'm not going to ask you again. I placed my arms around his neck and heard him unzipping his pants. You don't think about me when you're alone in bed at night? He looked into my eyes. No, I suddenly felt his dick slamming into me, knocking my body against the wall. I tried to unhook my leg from around him, but he cupped my ass and held me steady. I never cross your mind during the day, he whispered harshly. Never. He slammed into me again, over and over, making me scream so loudly I was sure the other people in the restaurant could hear me. He grunted as he squeezed my ass and impaled me, going deeper and deeper with every stroke. I clawed wildly at his neck, wanting him to stop this passionate torture, but I couldn't bring myself to say stop. It felt way too good. He yanked the top part of my dress down and began kissing my hardened nipples, sucking them greedily, nearly sending me over the edge. I was sure I was going to come right then and there. But all of a sudden, he pulled out. You honestly only use me for stress relief? He teased my entrance with his dick, circling it around and around. I didn't answer him. I looked down and tried to catch my breath, tried to gain back the resolve he'd so easily broken. Answer me. He pulled me by my hair and forced me to look up at him. Yes, you're nothing but stress relief. And with that answer, he plunged into me even deeper. Why are you lying to me, Claire? I'm not... I couldn't focus anymore. He was moving in and out of me at a teasingly slow pace, hitting every tender spot. I'm not lying. He reached down and wrapped my other leg around his waist, gazing into my eyes as he gripped my hips and moved me up and down. Claire? Claire? Michael's voice sounded from the other side of the room. Are you in here? Yes. I felt Jonathan increasing his rhythm, gripping me even tighter. Are you all right? Did the food upset you or something? No, I'm... Tremors started racking through my body, and my hips began to jerk. I'm... What did you say? I can't hear you, Claire. Are you allergic to shellfish? I'm... My entire body shook violently, and I bit Jonathan's shoulder to prevent myself from crying out. I'm amazing. Great, I just... I sucked in as much air as I could and tried to pull myself together. Some food went down the wrong pipe, and I'm just waiting for it to move completely. I didn't want you looking at me while I tried to force it. It's not very... appropriate, I scowled at Jonathan. He scowled back. Oh, I'm so sorry. Michael actually sounded sincere. Well, that's okay. I would have helped you if you needed me to. Do you need anything? Water, maybe? No. My breathing was still erratic. I was still feeling the aftershocks. I'm fine. Thank you. Okay, well, I'll go ahead and order dessert. Is chocolate souffle okay with you? That'd be perfect. I'll be right out. I heard the door shut, and Jonathan set me down on the floor. Without saying a word, he took a few cloths from the dispenser and wiped between my thighs. He pulled the dress back over my breasts, deftly securing the fabric into place. Then he reached down and smoothed my hair, attempting to make it look like it did before, even removing a bobby pin and sliding it where it used to be. He raised his eyebrow at the Batman Band-Aid and possessively ran his fingers across the Harry Winston bracelet. It took me several minutes to completely catch my breath, to wrap my head around what had just happened. I shook my head, still in disbelief.
"What the hell is wrong with you, Jonathan? Are you insane?"
"No, but you must be. You had the nerve to bring a date here, of all places?"
he scoffed. "I didn't pick this place, but even if I did, how was I supposed to know that your business meeting would be here?"
"The restaurant is called Statham, Claire. I own it. It's also right down the street from corporate, and my picture is in the hallway. There's always a chance that I could be here."
"Fine. A major oversight on my part, but that still doesn't give you the right to interrupt my date." I spun away from him and walked out of the stall, over to the mirrors.
"Do you like him?"
he asked. "No." "I don't know yet. I think I need to get to know him better before I come to any conclusions." His eyes met mine in the mirror.
"You plan on going out with him again?"
"Yes. He seems like someone who wouldn't give me a childish jealousy fuck in a public restroom."
He rolled his eyes and walked towards the door. "Get rid of him after dinner. Let me know when you make it home so I can pick you up. We need to talk."
"And if I don't feel like talking to you?"
"Then we don't have to talk."
Chapter 11. Claire. I wasn't sure why I called Jonathan to let him know I was at home. A part of me was furious about what he'd done to me in that bathroom. But another part of me, a part I couldn't explain, was happy that he'd showed up and interrupted my night. As he steered his Bugatti through the city and past the suburbs, I sat back in my seat and wondered when he was going to start talking. He hadn't uttered a word since he'd picked me up, and he hadn't looked over at me once. Why do I even care? I'm not supposed to like him. He sped through the sandy lanes of Ocean Beach, way past the familiar common areas that I was used to going to. There were no more lampposts or sparkling sand lights that helped lead the way along the shore. There was nothing but darkness and the pale glow of the moon from above. After what felt like forever, he pulled in front of a massive wooden house and turned off the car. He stepped out without saying a word, and then he walked over to my side and opened the door. He reached for my hand and led me up the porch's steps, pressing a few buttons on a keypad. As his finger tapped the last key, the door slowly opened, and he pulled me inside. My jaw dropped as soon as I stepped forward. The vaulted ceilings were at least 50 feet high, and they were made of black glass. There were paintings by Renoir and Amadeo, the originals, gently tucked in their own gilded frames that hung high. The room was filled with earth-toned furniture, soft brown sofas, emerald-green chaises, and bronze accent pieces that all reflected against the windows on the back wall. "This is beautiful."
"Take off your shoes," he ordered.
I slipped out of my flats and followed him into a kitchen so grand, I wasn't sure if it was real. It reminded me of the royal British kitchens I'd seen in Architectural Digest, the kitchens I would have killed to visit someday. He motioned for me to sit down on one of the silver bar stools, and then he switched on the stove. He turned his back to me and began preparing food, never once looking over his shoulder or saying anything to me. He took his time measuring different oils and sautéing meat, shaking his head every few minutes. While he was chopping vegetables, I looked at my watch and realized an hour had gone by since we'd made it to the house. "Here." He turned around and slid me a plate of chicken, potatoes, and salad. "I didn't see you eat much on your date." "Thank you." We ate dinner in complete silence. The sound of forks scraping against the plates was the only noise between us. I looked up at him several times, trying to see if he would look back, but he didn't. He kept his eyes on his food the entire time. When he saw that my plate was empty, he grabbed it and tossed it into the sink. He put on his jacket and walked to the frosted glass door that was across the room.
"Come here, Claire."
His voice sounded neutral, but there was still a look of coldness in his eyes. I took my time walking over to him, and he wrapped a warm blanket around my shoulders. He opened the door, and I realized the Pacific Ocean was only a few feet away. I thought we were going to walk along the beach, since I was still barefoot, but he led me onto a beautiful black yacht that was docked nearby. He helped me up the steps and signaled for a man, who appeared out of nowhere, to start the ship. He started tugging me through all types of elegant rooms, tea room, sun room, living room, jacuzzi room, and then he suddenly stopped. He turned around and stared at me, looked at me long and hard, as if he were contemplating what he wanted to do, what he wanted to say. "I don't like being lied to." He pulled me into his arms and kissed me, pressing himself so tightly against me that I could feel his erection through his pants. He possessed my mouth with his tongue, hardly ever giving me a chance to breathe, instantly turning me on. I knew he was upset, but I wanted to feel him inside of me again. I wanted him to take me right then and there, so I reached down to unbutton his pants. But he broke off our kiss.
"Why did you do that?"
he snarled. "What?" I panted. "What are you talking about?"
"Don't give me any fucking sarcasm."
"Excuse me?"
I didn't stutter.
He pulled me down onto a couch.
"Why were you on a date with that doctor?"
"It wasn't by choice." I leaned back and touched my swollen lips. "My mom set me up. I showed up to her house ready to go to the opera, but she told me she'd set me up on a date with him."
"But someone like him is who you want to date, right?"
He narrowed his eyes at me.
"Someone your age or older?"
"Yes."
"Explain that to me."
"What do you mean?"
"Explain why you feel that dating someone your age or older is what's best for you. Better yet, just tell me why I'm not good enough, because that's clearly how you feel."
"It's not that you're not good enough. It's just that..." I saw him clenching his jaw. "Whenever I do decide to date again, I want to date someone with a little more life experience. Someone who didn't have everything handed to him, you know? Someone who knows what it's like to love and lose, and someone who would go out of his way to make sure neither of us felt that again."
"And because he's older with life experience, that means he'll treat you right?"
"There's a greater chance of that, yes."
"For the record, I didn't have anything handed to me. Believe it or not, I had to work for every dime that I have. I know exactly what it's like to love and lose, and I would never, ever hurt you. If you..."
"You never had anything handed to you?" I scoffed. "Have you read your bio in the company handbook lately? You were born and raised in an upper-class Boston family, and you went to an expensive prep school, Phillips Exeter Academy in New Hampshire. And you and your..."
"All of that shit is a lie, Claire,"
he hissed.
"I had my best friend, who happens to be my security director, make up a past for me. I even paid Phillips Exeter to create an old transcript and Photoshop my face into old yearbooks. I didn't think trailer trash kid with meth head parents who almost killed their own kids sounded very inspiring."
"What?" My mind went blank. All these weeks I'd been trying to come up with excuses to use should this very conversation ever happen, but his lack of life experience was one of my biggest ones. I'm so sorry about your parents, Jonathan. I didn't know. But still, it's only a matter of time before you find someone your age or younger, and you'll want to date her, which is perfectly normal and understandable. I mean, the past couple months have been fun, but I honestly think you're going through a MILF phase.
A MILF phase?
Yes. Mother, you'd like to fuck. I don't think that...
First of all, I've already fucked you. Numerous times, so consider that point null and void. Second of all, I've told you over and over that I don't give a damn about your age. I don't know how else I can make that fact any clearer. What do you want me to do? Send out a company memo about it?
I just don't want you to think that you and I could ever have something serious. I know you say you don't care about the age gap now, but that'll change with time. It always does. And while I'm extremely flattered by your little crush...
Jesus.
He balled his fists at his side and glared at me.
I like you, Claire. point blank. Period. From the moment I saw you at Pacific Bay Lounge on New Year's Eve, I was captivated by you, and I've never been this drawn to a woman in my life. I'm not hung up on your age at all. You are. All I see is a beautiful and intriguing woman who is hell-bent on frustrating the shit out of me. If I thought you weren't interested, or if you would have convincingly told me that all you wanted me for was sex, I would have left it alone. But since neither of those things have happened, just admit that you like me and say that you want to date me, because I know deep down you want to. I wasn't sure how to respond. I just sat there, blinking at him, trying to process everything he'd said. I didn't remember ever seeing him at Pacific Bay Lounge. I thought our first encounter was at the grocery store. I put on my best poker face and sighed. It's not that difficult. I'm not asking for your heart or anything. I'm just trying to get to know you better in other ways. Just say, I like you, Jonathan, and I want to date you. That's it. I think that I like you, Jonathan, and I want to date you, he fumed. What's the difference between what we're doing now and dating? Public dinners? Movie nights? Admit that you like me and I'll show you. And if I don't admit it, we'll keep sailing out here until you do. I've got all year. Just say it. I'll think about it. Close enough. He pulled me close and draped his arm around my shoulders. Was that so hard to say? I didn't say anything. I said I would think about it. He rolled his eyes. There's something else I want to talk to you about, but not here. Lunch on Monday? Together? Yes. When two people are dating, they typically eat together. I still don't want people at work knowing that I've been eating lunch with a different director every day for a month now. No one is going to suspect anything. They'll think I'm having another business lunch. I sighed. Okay. Good. Now that that's settled, there's one thing I've wanted to do to you all night. He moved his arm from around my shoulders and held my face in his hands. He looked deep into my eyes and I braced myself for another passionate kiss, closing my eyes and taking a deep breath. Then I felt him ripping off my Batman Band-Aid. He reached into his pocket and pulled out a different Band-Aid, a clear one, and softly pressed it onto my hand. No grown man should be carrying around Batman Band-Aids. He pushed me down onto the couch. Seriously? Are you that insane? He covered my lips with his. You have no idea. I was sitting in my office, listening to one of my associates present his idea for the S-tablet. It was conversations like this that made me wish the Golden Gate Bridge was closer, so I could run out there and jump off of it. Isn't it amazing? Travis asked. With this idea, we can capture our lowest demographic market of kids between the ages of 10 and 12. We'll be forcing their parents to run out and buy one. He held up his board and pointed at the colorful clowns. Travis, I sighed. Our target market for this product is adults aged 25 to 34. I'm not sure if... No, wait, I haven't told you the best part yet. The magical clowns are delivering all these cool S-tablets to the kids after school, right? So, once the kids get them in their hands, the clowns start shouting, use your imagination, and the kids suddenly disappear. S-tablet. It's magic. See? Awesome, right? I refuse to deal with this today. Get out of my office. Now. But right now. He gathered his boards and rushed out, slamming the door behind him. I'll be down to your office in 10 minutes so we can finish our conversation from Saturday. Jonathan texted me. I looked over my schedule for the day and realized I had to sit through 8 more associate presentations. I wasn't sure how I was going to be able to do it. Although Travis's idea was a bit far-fetched, his was actually the best one of the day. I slipped my comfy slippers off under my desk and reached for my pumps. I had a feeling I was in for a long conversation with Jonathan today. We'd discussed a few things about dating each other. Exclusivity, keeping it private, and not rushing things. But the conversation had been cut short with sex. There was a sudden knock at my door.
Come in. I was still changing my shoes. I thought you said 10 min- I looked up and realized that it wasn't Jonathan knocking at my door. It was Michael. I stood up and smoothed my dress. Hi?
Hello, Claire. I hope you don't mind me stopping by.
He walked in and handed me a fresh bouquet of yellow roses.
I was delivering some prescriptions to the nursing home down the street, and I remembered that you worked here. Since you were sick Saturday and had to go home early, I was thinking we could try it again. How does this Friday work for you?
Shit.
No seafood? I promise, he laughed. You can pick the restaurant and I'll bring my EpiPen just in case you break out in hives or something.
I couldn't help but laugh. That sounds very, very sweet of you, but I... Actually, I'm kind of...
Are you?
Jonathan walked into my office and stopped. He looked back and forth between me and Michael, and his lips curved into a forced smile.
Good afternoon, Miss Grayson. And you are?
He looked at Michael.
I'm Dr. Michael Clarkson, he said, reaching out to shake his hand. And yourself?
I'm Jonathan Statham.
His eyes widened.
The Jonathan Statham of Statham Industries? The CEO?
The one and only.
Oh, well, I'm sorry if I was intruding on a meeting or something, Claire.
Michael smiled.
I just wanted to stop by and see you.
He looked me up and down.
You look stunning, by the way. I don't think there's a dress that wouldn't look good on you.
You're not interrupting anything.
Jonathan shook his head.
It's perfectly fine, Dr. Clarkson. I take a different director out for lunch every day, and it's a completely laid-back affair. We were about to eat at Water Bistro Cafe. It's 2 blocks down. Would you like to join us? Everything's on me.
What?
Sure. I'd love to. I have to make one more home visit, but it's relatively close. Will you still be there in about 20 minutes or so?
Definitely.
Jonathan smiled.
Great.
Michael stepped forward and planted a kiss on my lips.
I'll see you there, Claire.
Out the corner of my eye, I saw Jonathan's jaw clench as Michael placed 2 more kisses against my cheek.
It's not what you think.
I looked up at him once Michael left the room. I swear, it's not.
Oh, really? What am I thinking?
Whatever it is, it's not as bad as it looks.
Are you going to put your pretty new roses in some water?
He looked at my flowers.
The good doctor went through a lot of trouble to bring them, so you should probably try to keep them alive.
I'll do it when I get back.
Okay.
He unclenched his jaw.
Are you ready to go?
Jonathan and I took the employee shuttle down to the Water Bistro Cafe. Most of the employees who were on board seemed excited to see him, and just like he'd mentioned earlier, they seemed to think it was only a business lunch. They even joked about needing his help in their own departments. Once the bus stopped, he allowed me to step off before him and linked my arm in his. We didn't stop by the hostess stand. We simply made a left and walked upstairs to a large private room with a view of the ocean.
Good afternoon, Mr. Statham. A waitress showed us to the only table in the room, a high table with tall silver chairs that sat next to the window. Are there any other persons joining your party today?
Yes, a Dr. Clarkson. He ushered for me to sit down. Could you make sure his valet parking is made complimentary when he arrives?
Yes, sir. Shall I wait until he arrives to take your order?
That'd be fine. Could you bring us the chef's suggested wine while we wait?
Right away.
She placed 3 menus on the table and disappeared.
So,
Jonathan said as he sat down next to me,
how are the ideas coming for the S-tablet?
Cut the crap, Jonathan. I know you're upset about Michael dropping by my office today. Aren't you?
Why would I be upset?
I don't know. Never mind. I shook my head. I just thought you were the jealous type. I apologize for thinking that.
I think the S-tablet is going to be even harder than the S-phone.
Why is that?
Because S-tablet doesn't rhyme with anything.
He laughed.
I'm sure you'll come up with something amazing.
The waiter returned with a tray of wine glasses, and Michael was a few steps behind her.
This is a really nice restaurant.
He sat down across from us.
Is there a reason why the tables are so high?
It's a water bistro. The waitress smiled and passed him a glass of wine. All of our food is steamed and served on floating plates of hot water. The height of the table and the grooves on the edges prevent our guests from burning themselves. She blushed.
Oh. What do you suggest I try first, Mr. Statham?
Please, call me Jonathan. He smiled and turned his head towards the waitress.
How about giving us all a sample of everything?